I got like 17 pages of notes here. So stand by for heavy rolls, huh? I need to start by apologizing to Frank Dietz. Last week I referred to Pope Francis as Pope Frank, and I didn't want to make that a slander against Frank. That'd be kind of hard to take. So I apologize, brother. I didn't mean to. All right, let's all go home. That was good. No thanks. No, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll be finishing up what we started last week, talking about the pillars of wisdom. Those of you who are visiting, with a couple of people here this morning, appreciate you coming. Our pastor is out of town on a well-deserved vacation, so you have to suffer the consequences of us being here filling in for him. So I pray that it's a blessing to you for being here this morning. We appreciate you coming. Now, it's an amazing thing. This week, when this thing happened in Oregon, people getting shot, and I was listening to the president's speech after what happened, and he said that prayers and thoughts aren't enough. And you think of it, what he said is true, because they don't have anybody to pray to. Allah's not real. Buddha's not real. All the Hindu gods aren't real. Evolution isn't real. You've eliminated the Bible. You've eliminated prayer. You've eliminated God. You want to get him out of the Pledge of Allegiance and out of the Star-Spangled Banner. You want all that stuff. You want anything that mentions God out. But then, yeah, you're right. Prayers and thoughts aren't enough because you have no one to pray to. You hear it on the news all the time. Our prayers and thoughts are with the families. Who are you praying to? Your thoughts. You know, that's good. That's a good thing. But prayers? Who are you praying to? Mary? It's all empty. It's just, what an empty country. We really have an empty country. There's no fear of God. No fear of the Lord at all. His name is just a swear word anymore. It's just something you say when you're about to drive off the road and hit a tree. It's just something you say when you get something, a brand new car. It's just, oh my God. That's all it is. Because that's probably what your God is. You know, oh my God. And then what is he just supposed to all of a sudden say, oh wow, they talked to me. No, it doesn't work that way. First of all, you don't pray right directly to God. You got to go through Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We got to talk to our Savior. And he's just a swear word too. It's really a sad thing. This kid went around and targeted Christians. I'd like to hear the full story. You know, he's dead. We'll never hear why he did. But he's probably just tired of the fake, the facade of Christianity today out there. It's just a joke. You got a few small congregations in this country that are actually doing what's right and standing for the Lord and preaching and trying to live what's right and do what's right. But basically, Christianity for the most part is just a joke. It really is what they call Christianity. I mean, the Catholic Church down the road calls themselves Christians anymore. That's sad. It really is. I feel sorry for anybody who goes through that whole thing and thinks they're a Christian at the end. And, those who go visiting and knocking on doors or even talking to people at work and are you going to heaven when you die? Well, I hope so. Is that all you got? Is that all you got? The answer is not gun control. You know, it wasn't a gun that opened the door and started shooting people. It was a guy who was looking for, you know, all I can say is these people are searching for some truth. They're searching for something that can heal their messed up minds and their hearts. They're just totally confused at what's going on. And they're looking for something that can heal that and make it all make sense. And it's Jesus Christ. If anything, things like that, happenings like what happened in Oregon and all these other different schools and shootings that have been going on at work and stuff, it should spur us on to get the truth out even more. It really should. Because you don't know when that day is going to come for you. I've had a couple guys at work, we were kind of worried of whether they were going to come in with a, you know, with an overcoat on one day. And really, it's just, but when you don't have anything to grasp onto, anything to hold onto, we have a haven of rest. We're anchored. We're set. We have Christ as our Savior. These people don't have anything. And it's really sad. And our whole country is that way. And they listen to this guy, and prayers and thoughts aren't enough. We need to act as a government. Really? I can't pray. You don't pray to the government. Some people do. They think they actually have the answers, and they don't. They really don't. It's just sad. It's really sad to hear. So today we're going to, you know, last week we started talking about what in Proverbs where it mentioned the Proverbs chapter 9, let me read it. This total mind. Chapter 9 of Proverbs, verse 1 says, wisdom hath builded her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. So we're talking about what are the seven pillars of wisdom. And so we came, what I came up with through searching the scriptures was, you see the bottoms of the pillars up there at the top. Knowledge, understanding, judgment. That includes discretion and, boy, I just drawn blanks all over this morning. I'm sorry, what? Prudence, thank you. Thank you. Discretion and prudence. Counsel and instruction. Humility. Righteousness and then strength and might. And all these, if we look at it really closely, all these are just attributes of Almighty God. That's what wisdom is, encompassing, is an all-encompassing picture of who God really is. Wisdom. So all these things. And then, but most of the people, in fact, I told you that I'd asked my wife, I said, what, when you think of wisdom, what is the verse that comes to your mind? And it says, and she said, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that was the verse that would come to my mind. But the more I thought about it, and I was going to make that one of the pillars, but then the more I thought about it, it says the beginning of wisdom. So we're building a place here. We're building a house. Wisdom has hewn out her house and hewn out her seven pillars. But what's the beginning of any structure? The foundation. So the fear of the Lord, to me, is the beginning. It's the foundation of all this. It's what all these pillars rest upon, is the fear of the Lord. If we don't have the fear of the Lord, this whole thing crumbles. The wisdom, all that, knowledge, understanding, judgment, all that, all those pillars just fall to the ground if we don't have the fear of the Lord. So we look at these scriptures, and I looked up the definition of fear in the 1828, you know, the second Bible. just kidding. It says fear is a painful emotion or passion excited by the apprehension of impending danger. Okay, fear is accompanied with a desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. So in other words, it's something that would stop you in your tracks before you went too far, before I have a fear of heights. And I'm somewhat claustrophobic. I don't like enclosed places. You know, it doesn't take much to get around me, but then it's just like, just back off. You know, just, ooh, I need my space. But fear of heights, you know, I just, every time I climb a ladder to get on a roof, and I get on the roof, it's like, and then to go get down, oh, it's kind of like, where's the step? Where's just, you know, the eyes are less big, you know, all right, come on. I need something solid here. But it's always that fear of falling and hitting your head on a brick or falling and laying in the front yard or, you know, or falling and not remembering anything. You know, it's just that the impending danger. I don't want to, I'll sit on the roof if that's what it takes, you know. Just throw me up a sandwich now and then, you know. I went up, when I was in the Navy, we had a superstructure and the radar was on the very top of the mast. 185 feet from the deck of the ship, straight up. And every time before we'd get, the ship would leave port, we'd have to climb, there's a guy in our division that would climb that mast and go all the way up to the top where the radar was and look for FOD, foreign object debris. You know, like wrenches, bolts, nuts, things like that. So when the radar would spin, it wouldn't knock those things off and hit somebody in the head or injure somebody on the deck. All right? So he asked me, we were in Diego Garcia, and he goes, hey, you want to go up there with me? And I said, sure. You know, so we put on these harnesses, and you clasp onto this thing, and you start climbing this. And I just focused totally on the smokestack the whole time, climbing that ladder. Until we got up to the door, there was a little trap door, you know, about this big that I had to fit through when I got up there. But I got up there, and I got up on the platform, and I closed that door, and I said, grabbed onto the lifeline, and I stood up and looked around, and, you know, the view was amazing. I mean, it was just like, wow, you could see the whole island. You know, it was just amazing. But then there again, I had to get back down. And he opened that little hatch, you know, and I'm sticking my leg through there, you know, trying to find the... I know it's here somewhere, you know. There it is. Okay, something solid, you know. Look to make sure it wasn't the guy's head. And I get through and get on the ladder and latch on with my harness and go back down, but I was scared to death. What if I fell? Well, I would have died, you know, 185 feet down to solid metal. Not a good combination. But fear the Lord. It's something that should stop you in your tracks. And that's what I get when I... It's just like my dad when I was growing up, you know, he'd say, okay, don't do that. And I'd do that and I'd get a whooping. Yes, I got a spanking. I'm still swollen. Look at me. All right. But I'd get a spanking. And it's the next time I went to do that again, it stopped me in my tracks. The fear of that impending danger stopped me. And that's what the fear of the Lord should be. We should be reading the Bible and memorizing and meditating on it. So when we go out there in the world and we're deciding whether we're going to take this matter into our own hands or not, that verse of Scripture comes and says, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want a spanking from God. That would hurt. My dad's hands were huge. That hurt. Imagine what God's would be like. Unreal. It says his right hand spans the universe. That'd be it. That'd be all she took. But the fear of the Lord, I think that's something we as Christians, I know myself, need to really search out and reiterate that in our minds and get that, make that a reality in our lives again. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 4, the Lord laid this on my heart this morning. Just wanted to read that before we start. Starting in verse 1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. It's the principal thing. It's the chief thing. That's why I wanted to go through this, wisdom. There's just so much involved in it. There's a lot. Like I mentioned last week, I started looking at it, and it just exploded. There's so much. I mean, there's so many more hours you could spend teaching this and talking about wisdom, but this is just like scratching the surface at best. You know, so just, you know, I challenge you to look at it even more yourself, but let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." It's the beginning of wisdom. So I take that as a solid foundation. It's a foundation, something that this edifice, if you want to call it that, of wisdom is built upon. These seven pillars have something solid to rest upon. And fear of the Lord is this foundation. And you search the Scriptures and you look through the Scriptures and you start noticing that a lot of what it talks about the fear of the Lord lines up with these pillars that we put up last week. It's just kind of a support. It's there, and it just kind of holds it all up. So let's take a quick peek at some of these scriptures here, and we'll just go through them. I already have the references written down up there. But first of all, I wanted to go, let's go over to 1 Samuel. This one is not up there. 1 Samuel chapter 11. And we'll start in verse 1. It says, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh and unto Nahash, make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for a reproach upon all Israel." That's pretty harsh, isn't it? It's like, okay, I'll make a covenant with you, but let me poke all your eyes out, all your right eyes. And they went to consider it. It goes on and says, okay, well, let us think about it. Really? You're going to think about this. And he's going to hold it as a reproach against the whole country of Israel. The whole country. So word of this gets back to Saul, and Saul chops up an oxen and sends pieces of it to all the tribes of Israel and says, if you don't come and help us out, if we don't go down and help up Jabesh Gilead here, this is what's going to happen to all your oxen. And we get down to verse 7, and it says, well, there it says, "And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent." Fear of the Lord fell upon them. It's like they really, at that moment, got a vision of who God really is. You know, isn't that true? It just fell on them. It's like, wow, this is helping out my fellow brothers, my fellow countrymen. This is what this is. And they said, yeah, let's go do this with one consent. Let's do it. Maybe some went out because they didn't want their oxen chopped up, but I think they really got a true vision of who the fear of God. And saying, if I don't do this, if I don't help out my brothers and sisters, if I don't do this, I got the hand of God against me, and I don't want that. And I put down that this is not only knowledge, this lines up with knowledge. I didn't put this up there, but it fit into three categories for me. Knowledge of what the fear of God really is. Knowledge of what's going to happen. Judgment and humbleness. You know, to leave your family, to leave your whatever behind and go out and help your fellow brothers. You know, to humble, saying, hey, this could be me. This could be me down there getting my eyes threatened by this guy, this moron that came up and encamped against us. And they came together and went down there and beat this guy to a pulp. Basically, God went out and won the battle for him. And then they got a really good vision of who God really is and the fear of the Lord. And so this is a good story. You know, this guy wants to poke your eyes out, and they all pulled together because of the fear of the Lord fell on them. It wasn't the fact, it doesn't say the fact that I'm going to chop your oxen up. It doesn't say, well, I don't want to lose my oxen, so I'm going to go fight. It says, no, the fear of the Lord fell on them. It wasn't about the losing your oxen, it was the fear of the Lord. So that's pretty powerful stuff. Then in the same thing, pretty much over, and let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 14, a couple books over, 2 Chronicles, excuse me, Chronicles chapter 14. We have a kind of a similar situation where Asa, the king, is facing Zerah, the Ethiopian. Zerah, or whatever the name is. Verse 9 of chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles. And there came out against from Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of a thousand thousand, so a million people. Right? Isn't that correct? 1,000,000, that's a million people, right? Okay? And 300 chariots. I don't know how they all fit in those chariots. That would have been kind of interesting to see. A million people and 300 chariots. All right, here we go. I can't shoot. All right, sorry. 300 chariots and came unto Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah of Mareshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them into Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, and the fear of the Lord came upon them. And they spoiled all the cities that were in exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents and the cattle away, the sheep. So the fear of the Lord came upon them. God, who did Asa turn to in his time of trouble, his time of need? Who do we turn to when we have relatives that are not saved and we're going into a situation that's kind of bad? We're going into a situation of unsaved relatives or going to work every day and facing a bunch of unsaved reprobates that were drunk all day watching football and stuff. We need God's help in this matter. And I look at that prayer and it's like, that's a prayer we could pray every day. When we go to work and when we go to events where we're faced with unsaved people and say, Lord, I'm going into this battle. And I'm not much with words. I'm not much with the Word of God. I my mind goes blank a lot. And but you can help with little or with much. And I could sure use your help in this situation. That's what Asa did here. And God said, oh, you got it. Here I come. He's just waiting for you to ask. And he came down and just wiped these people out. To sit back and watch all these people just die before you. You didn't have to do nothing. Just stand there and watch. That had to be something to see. But to see a long-lost relative that you've been praying for and all of a sudden their life starts falling apart right in front of them. And you're sitting there watching their life fall apart and you just go up there and say, hey, I've been talking to you about this Lord for years and years and years now. Can you see that the life you have is nothing without Christ? Can you see it? Not to rub it in their face, but to say, here it is. This is what I've been telling you about. The Lord still loves you. He still wants to save your soul. This isn't a time to turn and run. This is a time to run to the Lord and seek His face. Because He still loves you and wants to help you out. And then they realize their state. They realize, that's what happened to me. When I was 29, I finally realized, if I die right now, I'm going to hell. That scared me. That scared me. The eternal judgment of God Almighty on my soul. I said, I need to get this done. I need to get this taken care of. I don't want to go to hell. No way. And I asked Christ to save me. He took care of that battle for me. And He's helped me ever since. When I call on Him, if I don't try to do it myself. All right, we got a long ways to go here. We got a lot more scripture to go through. Let's start with Job 28:28. I won't ask you to turn to all these. There's a lot of scripture here. A lot of them I'm just going to read. Some of these pastors mentioned many times. In fact, Job 28:28 says, "And unto man He said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." So I have Job 28:28 up under understanding there. And then we can go to Proverbs again. There's a lot of verses in Proverbs. So we can, if you want to stay, go turn to Proverbs and just kind of stay there for most of the day, that's fine, because that's where most of these scriptures are going to be. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15:16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. This is humbling. It's a humbling thing. A lot of people, there's some people maybe in here that don't have a lot of money, and it's a humbling thing. You know, it's more of a personal thing, but when you have a little, and the only thing you have left is the Lord, I think you're in a pretty good spot. I think you're in a pretty rich spot. You have a chance to see the Lord really work in a mighty way. To see the money just come in, just the right amount of money come in for the bills, and the right amount of money for food, and the right amount of money for gas, and just never more than you need, and never so you can, you know, go out every day, go out to eat every day, but it's just enough to meet the bills. He always takes care of you. You know, sometimes we get a little selfish and say, boy, I'd sure like to be able to do that. And boy, I'd sure like to be able to do that. I'd sure like a new set of clubs. You know, you see these things and you're like, but then you look back and you say, and you get rid of yourself and you start thinking about how good God is. And you see, man, I always have enough. I've always had enough. He's always met my needs. Man, am I selfish. You know, being poor can be a humbling thing, but can also be very rewarding to see how mighty God is and how He can work. Down a few verses, verse 33 in that same chapter, Proverbs 15, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." There again, I put it up under instruction. Pretty sure I did. Oh, I didn't, did I? Oh, there you go. Add an extra verse to add to your list. There you go. Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom." Instruction of wisdom. Wisdom is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. They go hand in hand. That's what it says in Job 28:28. You fear the Lord, you're very wise. You're wise. You're very wise, very powerful. You know, we'll fear heights, we'll fear, you know, we'll fear the stock market. You know, some people actually fear that the Vikings are going to lose today. Really, they do. It's unbelievable. But they won't even think of the fact of fearing an almighty God who can take their soul and throw it into hell. That's a sad thing. If you didn't know, the Twins lost out. They're not going to make the playoffs. They lost yesterday. So that fear can be subsided now. It's an amazing thing. It really is. They fear the stock market. I got a guy at work. He just worked. No lie. He got $30,000 or $40,000 in overtime. He's so worried. He's going to retire in 3 years, and he's got money coming out of his ears, but he's just so worried about having enough, having enough, having enough, having enough. If that's all you got, then yeah, I'd get as much as you could. But if you don't have, if you have God on your side and you're worshiping God and serving Him and fearing Him, you got all the riches you need, and not just monetary either. Spiritual riches. You got peace. That's more than 90% of this world has. Nobody has peace out there. How about this kid that shot up all these people? He had no peace. No peace at all. You know, it's just an amazing thing. Okay, we better keep going here. Turn over to chapter 6. Well, it says you're probably there. Chapter 16 of Proverbs. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You read in Job 28:28, is depart from evil is understanding. So I put that one up under understanding. There it is. I missed that one too. No, I didn't. Proverbs 16:6, right there. Okay, good. Well, I'm really messing up here. You're going to need another cup of coffee. All right, Proverbs 19. Turn over a couple more pages. Proverbs chapter 19. Oh, I'm sorry, 22. They look so much alike, you know. Verse 4. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. There it is. Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for riches? You're looking for true riches? None of us are going to be millionaires. Maybe there are some sitting amongst us. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know what people make around here. I don't really care. But I'll tell you, for me, there's nothing more rich and rewarding than coming into church and being able to talk to fellow Christians and talk about the Lord and open the Bible and see how the Lord's going to take care of us. There's nothing more rich. There's nothing more honoring for somebody to say, oh, you're a Bible thumper. You bet. What have you got? What are you trusting in? What do you got in the stock market that gives you peace and contentment? What do you got? So what, you got a new car and I got to fix mine every week? I enjoy it. I'm learning something. You buy an old truck, you'll learn some things. Right, brother? You come over and help me put in the fuel pump here a couple months ago. Boy, that was interesting, to say the least. But I learned something. But I got peace. We had good fellowship. We're laying under a truck laughing our heads off, having fun, talking about the Lord. What do you got? I got riches beyond belief. I got something I got to look forward to. You know, it gives all new meaning to, you know, the Lord said, but for what was beyond the cross, the joy that was beyond the cross. Hey, the joy that's beyond work, joy that's beyond all the cussing and the swearing and the perverse language and the lifestyles that this world leads, and you have to wade through this sewage all week long. But stay true to the Bible. Stay true to the God. Fear Him because of what's beyond, what we have to look forward to. We get to see Jesus face to face. Wow. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a blast. You know, we were watching this Christian comedian the other day at home. And he's up there, he was, heaven's going to rock. I'm like, oh, you are such a moron. And he's up there dancing and doing all this stuff. And we're going to be dancing around the throne. He said, you are so stupid. Really, you think God's going to allow everything He taught against in His Bible into heaven? Really? How stupid you got to be. What a joke. Anyway, I'm sorry. All right. What? No, I know. Yeah, it's supposed to be teaching, not venting, right? All right, chapter 23 of Proverbs, chapter 23. 23 verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Judgment, discretion. Let not thine heart envy sinners. What do they have that we just talked about it? What do they have that you don't? Stuff? Really? Stuff that's going to rust? Stuff that's going to burn? Stuff that's going to break down? Well, the new phone's coming out. Mine's obsolete now. I drove my car off the car lot, and it's already depreciated. You know what? They got stuff. They got, you know, I got $5 million in the bank for when I retire. Okay, and then you leave work the last day and you get hit by a car. I'm seriously, what do you got that's really secure? Why do I need to envy you? You have nothing that I need. God is everything. God is all I need. I didn't have peace until the day I accepted Christ as my Savior. I looked and said, wow, I don't have... What is that? I have a car that gets me to work and home. Praise God. Who cares what it looks like? If it has enough steel on it, if it has enough steel left to put a bumper, you know, a scripture sign on, I'm good. Just enough to hold it on, you know, without duct tape. All right. We need to be in the fear of the Lord all the day long. We need to think of who we serve. I had a couple days recently where I just hated work. I'm serious. I was mad. I was upset. I just get tired of it. I really do. I get tired of listening to the language and the lingo and the what we used to do on the outside, and you know the way these guys live, it's just an amazing thing. And I'll send them up early. I said, just go back to the dorm. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I'm just sick of it. You know, I just tired of it, and I was just mad. And I was walking around in the laundry at work, and I'm just like, why God, isn't there anything else I can do instead of sit here and listen to these morons all stinking day? You know, isn't there something else? Is this really where you want me to be? I need something from you to show me that this is where you need me to be. Because I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. You know, taking the Lord's name in vain. They live a lifestyle of just total depravity, and the very person that can save them and help them is on their lips as a swear word. And they look at you like you're just, you believe what? How can you do that? I don't know how many inmates have come to me and said, how can you do this every day? And I said, I can't. I said, if it was up to me, you'd all be dead. If they gave me weapons, you'd be done. You know, I'm surprised I don't empty my mace every day. You know, get away from my desk. You know. But because of what the Lord did for me, that's why I need. He says, be thou in the fear of the Lord. He's got you there for a reason, wherever you're at. And we have to stop and step back and get a reflection of why we are there and who put us there. I had put in for that job, and I had waited for a year and a half, and a year and a half of interviews and oral boards and physical tests and physical exams and on and on and on. You know, how could they refuse me, this physical specimen that I am? You know, and on. But then I, on June 6th, 1993, I got saved. And a week later, they called me for the job. That's no mistake. God needed me there to be a witness And I have to get that through my mind every day. It never used to be a problem, but now the more it wears on me, the more I see, the more I need to dwell in the fear of the Lord and realize how good He is. And He knows what He's doing. Some days get really hard, and I know you go through the same thing, but we have a God that's real, and they need to see it. They need to hear it. They really do. And it's up to us. We're God's last resort. No matter, He goes, I know you're weak in the flesh. I know you got bad thoughts. I know you have bad days. But I need you there. I need you there. I need you to dwell in the fear of the Lord so you don't say anything stupid or say anything that you're going to regret or that's going to cause somebody to turn away from Christ. I need you there. I need to dwell in the fear of the Lord. Well, I don't know. We're never going to get through all this, but that's all right. Just a couple more we'll go through real quick. These are in, well, I'll look up the ones in Proverbs here so we can just stay there. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You're a fool if you don't want to come to church. You really are. If you don't want to hear the Bible taught and learn the Word of God. Well, I'm tired. Oh, my knee hurts. Really? That takes precedence over hearing the Word of God? Hearing the Word of God taught? You know, what we really need to do is some of us, and I know Caleb and them did this here a couple weeks ago. You need to go out to one of these churches in the neighborhood and see what they got. Just so you appreciate this place a little bit more. You appreciate our pastor a little bit more. And the hours he spends reading the Word of God and studying and all the time he puts into this place. It's an amazing thing. To miss the instruction, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. I got that under knowledge, of course. Put that up there, I believe. Where's knowledge at? Oh, there it is, right there. Okay, first one. Chapter 1, verse, a couple verses more down. Chapter 1, verse 29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated knowledge. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. That's the fool. That's the fool. That's the guy, you understand, the guy doesn't want anything to do with God. He despises knowledge. Oh, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I don't need that. Or here's the big phrase. Jeff and me, we went down to the Twins game about a month or so ago, and it was, oh, I'm good. That's the phrase. I'm good. I'm good what? Good what? You haven't even read the pamphlet. You haven't even seen what I'm about to show you. You haven't let me talk to you at all. You just said I'm good. Really? Oh, Mr. Twins fan with a beer in your hand. You're good. Because right now everything's good. What about on the way home when you get a call and say your dad's in the hospital? Are you still good? What about when you get in an accident and you're paralyzed from the neck down? Are you still good? I have something to offer you. I have eternal life. Eternal life. After you die, are you sure you're going to go to heaven? Oh, I'm good. Really? The only one I'm not. The only one I know that is good is Jesus Christ. He's the only one I know that is good. I'm good. I'm good. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9, verses, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. That's what wisdom can do for you. Hiding his words in your heart, then you can understand the fear of the Lord. That being your only desire, I need to learn. You ever look at your devotions like, I need this today to give me that much more fear of God. The more I learn, the more we learn about God, the more I hear, the more I learn about God, and the more I can respect who He is, and it'll lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Not for me, not for a pat on my back, for His name's sake. The more we learn, and the more we learn about Him, and the more we're going to fear God. Why am I, we walk down a narrow path, and most people are going to be poking at you and making fun of you because you don't do what they do. But who cares? That's the path that's right. It's narrow. It's you're going against the grain. This world has nothing. They're all going that direction. The guy gave an illustration once. It's like this, you ever been to a Twins game, or before I got saved, I go to concerts and rock concerts. When I was in the Navy in Puerto Rico, when they're ready to seat people, they just open the gates and let everybody come in at once. It was like a stampede. Everybody wanted the good seats. Challenge you to be in that crowd and turn around and start walking the other way. That's what it would be. That's where we're at. We're going against the flow right now. And we need to know why we're doing that. Why am I walking this way? Why am I doing that? That's why we read the Bible. Taking the words, like he says here, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, you look at your devotions, not just a fact to say, okay, I can make a check mark. I've read my Bible today. But no, you're crying after knowledge. You're digging for treasures, little nuggets of information. I know there's some guys here that I have on my phone, and when I read a verse that really speaks to my heart, I send a text out and share that verse with them. And hopefully it speaks to them like it spoke to me, because it's a nugget of treasure that I found digging in the Bible. I'm not trying to elevate myself up. I just want to learn more about God. And you got the same. Why wouldn't you in this day and age? It's just messed up. This world is messed up. This country is messed up. They're praying to the unknown God. They have no idea who they're praying to. Nobody. No idea. It's really sad. It's really sad. But it's the fear of God. We don't read the Bible to just, yeah, we gain knowledge, but the knowledge builds our wisdom. But the basis of that is the fear of the Lord. To give us a more knowledge of God and who He is and how we can walk the straight and narrow way and stay true and why we do it, so we have answers for those who ask. Okay, a couple more here, and then we'll be. Let's just read a couple more, and we'll be done. Chapter 8, Proverbs 8. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. That's what you listen to here. That's what you listen to every day at work. That's what you hear every day on the radios, on the TVs. Perverse, froward, evil. The other day it was just welcome to the new, you know, welcome to Channel 11. The news today, you know, Oregon, 9 were dead. A girl was stabbed in North Minneapolis. A guy was shot in St. Paul. You know, what do you want to hear that for? You know, shut it off. Read the Bible for a little bit. Get in more knowledge of the Word of God. Get a little more fear in our lives and why we do what we do and why we live the way we live. It's not just a routine or a rut or a family you were born into. This is a reality. This is life. The fear of the Lord is life. It's your life. And we need to learn more and study more and meditate on it and get a real feel of it in our heart and a desire to serve God. It just gives you a whole new outlook on the Word of God when you sit there and saying, I'm reading this so I can get a more fear of the Lord and understand who He is. And if you truly have a heart to serve Him and live for Him, you'll want to fear Him more. Meaning you'll want to get into the Word of God more. Just makes sense. It just makes sense. There's so much more. There's so much more Scripture here. And time is up, so we're not going to be able to go through it all. But I'll tell you what. If you have time, look it up. Don't look at your devotions the same anymore. Look at them as this is my chance to get more fear of the Lord and to learn and know my Redeemer better, know my Savior more. And people that don't have hope and peace, you can bring them that by telling them about how good your Savior is. Through the fear of the Lord. And then one day, I was just this last thing. You know, we all anticipate the return of the Lord and we're excited about it. We say, Lord, get us out of here. Are we doing that because of selfishness? I mean, really think about it. For really fearing the Lord is like, to me, it would be, I got people that aren't saved. I got family members that aren't saved. I got so many more people to talk to. I got so many more tracks to get out. You know, Lord, if you could just hold off for a second more, not because of me, not because of something I need to do, but I need to get your word out to these people. I need to give them one last chance to get saved. Instead of just get me out of here because I had a bad day at work. You know, really, that's... Are we looking forward to His coming back because we fear Him or because of just selfish reasons? I don't know. I hope this made sense. It's just, there's so much to it. There really is. And I went on a lot of rabbit trails and I apologize for that. But the fear of the Lord and wisdom, look those up and check them out. Check it out. You know, we all wear Scriptures t-shirts and we got them on our cars and stuff, but this is reality. This is real. This is real. This isn't just something we do. This is a life. This is our life. Let's make it that way. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Lord, didn't get as far as I wanted to, but Lord, I hope I said what you wanted said. I pray, Lord, that we'd have a whole new desire to read the Word of God. And learn more about you and understand you better and understand why we live the life we live. Thank you for this opportunity. And Lord, I just pray that you be with us now. Be with Brother Dave as he comes and preaches to us this morning.
Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit and speak to us through the Word of God this morning. In your precious name, amen.